The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, lovers. It's Damona. I'm popping in real quick just to ask you a little favor. If you're a fan of this podcast, I could really use your support. First, please take a few seconds to subscribe to this podcast, if you're not already, and to rate the show 5 stars. I mean, you love the show. Why not rate it 5 stars? So look at your phone right now, and tap subscribe. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, scroll all the way down to the bottom and let me know how much you love Dates and Mates. Reviews. Yes, reviews much. And while we're talking about reviews, also, second, tell your friends about us. I'm hearing about way too many people giving up on love this year. So please share your favorite episodes with your friends and help us heal more hearts this year. Third, if you're ready to go deeper with me, you can support the show for just $5 in our Patreon Friends with Benefits group. You get access to my private Facebook group and weekly behind the mic Facebook Lives where I talk about this very show, what's going on in my head, what's happening behind the scenes, everything else you need to know that you're not hearing right here. Plus, you will help me keep the show going, maybe for another 8 seasons. Thank you so much in advance. I truly appreciate each and every one of you. Now, let's get into the show.
Are we supposed to get married?
I'm going to just swipe
left. I just want somebody to share my life with.
Vil, which is voter I'd like to have fun with.
That is not what you meant.
You keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships.
If you've read my advice in the LA Times, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. Hello, lovers. Look, I know some of you are down on dating apps right now, but you know, if you've listened to the show before, that I'm a big fan of the apps and I love to nerd out about dating app technology. Why? Because I see it as the best bang for your buck. And I've just seen so many relationships start online. So I am going to give you more inside scoop today on the latest developments in dating apps with my friend and spy on the inside of the OkCupid team, Michael Kay. Okay, he's not really a spy, but he is the global communications and PR manager at OkCupid. But my point is, he is my go-to man on the inside. And I must preface this episode by saying this is not sponsored by OkCupid. But as a dating coach, I've seen how the apps have changed and grown over the years. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years. OkCupid has been one of my go-tos by my side from the beginning. So I want to give you the inside scoop of what's really going on behind the scenes of the dating apps we know and love. First, though, we got to get you up to speed on what else is going on in the news. Finally, the breakup we've all been waiting for. And how long do you really have to make a first impression on a dating app? Hint, it's less time than you think. Plus, a definitive guide to knowing when it's time to end a relationship. Then at the end of the show, I'll answer your questions, including, ladies, is it a deal breaker? Depends on what you're smoking. And can a star-crossed airport meet cute LDR actually work? So much to talk about. Let's start with the dish.
D's dating dish.
Cardi B and Offset are finally Splitsville. Whew. Cardi filed in an Atlanta courthouse last week. 3 years they've been together. Officially, they've been married for 3 years. Let's be honest, he's been cheating the whole time. The couple shares a beautiful 2-year-old daughter, Culture, whom Cardi is seeking legal and primary custody, physical custody over.
And despite the infidelity, the pair did decide to stay together right after she revealed she was pregnant and he was put on blast for his cheating. And I swear, I was like, when I wrote for BET, I was like on the Cardi B beat. I tracked this whole relationship. And so I said, even in my articles back then, that it was not going to work out. I mean, between the cheating and then lying about the cheating. And then do you remember when he publicly embarrassed her trying to apologize during her concert? Like, that was her moment, Offset. And now you're coming up here trying to make it about you? Whew. Okay. I, for one, am glad this relationship is over because Cardi B is such a symbol of female empowerment. She's got that good WAP. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, go Google it. And she's always been someone who leads confidently for women. So it just broke my heart to know that she let this guy continue to lie to her face, cheat behind her back, cheat in her face, and tell her what she wanted to hear, but not be able to live up to her expectations. But this is a good reminder that, like, even if Cardi B can fall into this trap, it can happen to all of us. And we always have to continue to check in with who we are, what we want, what we need in a relationship, and whether this person that we are choosing to bind our life with, to continue to invest our time and probably also money into, that they are worth it. And in this case, she came to the conclusion that it's just easier to move on. I wish them both the best, and I really wish she finds somebody that is going to give her the respect that she deserves. Well, if you are looking for a match, turns out you have less time to make a first impression than we originally thought. If you remember back to my Love Lessons episode over the summer, I said you have, according to science, 7 seconds to make a first impression. Well, according to new science around dating apps, you have less than 7 seconds. You actually only have 1 second to assess a match. Well, that's not entirely true. According to the study, they took 898 people. I don't know why that number, but they did. They showed them mocked up profiles, and then they played with the amount of time that that person had to respond to a match as to whether or not they would want to go out with them. And when they whittled down the time to just 1 second or less, people were less likely to swipe right or select match. What this tells me, folks, is that we are still swiping too fast. We are thin slicing and trying to figure out everything in just a second or less. Yes, you can tell physical attraction usually from a couple of photos, but you can't tell if somebody has common goals for the future, shared values, or chemistry with you just from a 1 second glance. So this research from eHarmony tells me that we should slow it down a little bit and really be looking at compatibility on more factors than just initial first impressions. Thanks to our friends at Hello Giggles, we now know how to end a relationship. Whew. I have been getting so many emails from people that are coming out of relationships, moving into singlehood during COVID. I mean, look at how we're just booed up and partnered up and with our partners 24/7. And for some people, it's just not working. So why should you end a relationship? Because that decision is such a hard call, whether you should stay in it or not. If you feel like something is off, I would say trust your instinct, and I agree with this article on that. If you feel like there's a long-lasting lack of motivation, maybe you feel you're growing apart, you feel like you're being manipulated, if you feel threatened or abused in any way, yeah, of course, definitely get out of that relationship. And if communication feels impossible, that those are kind of insurmountable challenges in a relationship. So I think Hello Giggles was right on with this article. But how do you do it? Well, first, they say talk about it. Try initiating change before walking away. I always say a bird in hand, you know, is worth two in the bush. That was not a sexual reference. I'm just saying try to focus on the person who's in front of you before you just look for whatever the next best thing is, because there are going to be challenges in every relationship. And I think the juicy stuff, the fun part, is actually being able to work through, to look at your own behavior, as this article says, to set boundaries and to sort of use every relationship as part of the lab of your life. You might need to seek professional help. You know, I'm always talking about BetterHelp. seek professional help. You don't need to work through it alone. But if you figure out it's not working, it doesn't have to be dramatic or scarring. As long as you are both communicating your needs to one another, if it's not in alignment and you don't see it getting better over time, then it may be time to move on. Well, it's time for us to move on to the next segment. You see what I did right there? Well, we'll be talking with Michael Kay from OkCupid, who's going to tell us all the juicy details about what's happening behind the scenes of your favorite dating app.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I am here with Michael Kay, my friend and inside man at OkCupid. Look, every time I have a question or feedback on OkCupid app developments, he is who I go to. And he also listens to the show, which is amazing, while he runs, he's told me. How many other runners do we have? I've had a couple people say they listen. DM me if you're a runner. I want to see like photos of people out there running, listening to Dates and Mates. Anyways, I've invited him on the show today to talk about two major developments in the OkCupid and overall dating app landscape. So please help me give big smooches to Michael Kay.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you because this is obviously a very important time, Michael, in history, but especially in the world of OkCupid. I just heard news that you've launched a new campaign called VILF. What does VILF mean?
Yeah, so everyone knows what a DILF is and what a MILF is. So we decided to amplify our Voter 2020 badge by launching VILF, which is Voter I'd Like to Have Fun With.
That is not what you meant. But wait, this isn't necessarily, we're not sexualizing the election. I did see some very cute condoms. What, are you like passing these out on the street? How do people get them?
Yeah, so we launched the campaign actually this morning, and what people can expect to see are some really fun, provocative, creative on social and digital platforms, but there's also going to be a real life component to it. So in multiple locations across New York City and Los Angeles, there'll be wild postings on the streets where people will see these really fun billboards where it says, register to vote and be a VILF. LA isn't as sexy as you think. And before everyone in LA gets mad at me, it's because California has the second lowest registered voters per capita in the US. So we're really trying to get the attention of areas where there's historically not as many registered voters or people participating in the elections that we would like to see.
Okay, first of all, as a Californian, I am very offended, not by you saying that, but I'm actually surprised because I feel like everyone I know is very engaged, but it really reminds us also, I think we lose sight of what's happening in other areas or outside of our individual bubbles, and we've been in such an echo chamber that whatever we see confirms our own beliefs or our own bias. In today's world. But in dating, we can bridge those gaps, right? Okay, so a few weeks ago, OkCupid launched this voter badge. Tell us about the badges on OkCupid and what that really represents.
Yeah, so historically, we've done a few badges over the last couple of years. We started with our ACLU badge and our Planned Parenthood badge. And we also last year released our Game of Thrones badge. But this year we had two really important historic badges to add to OkCupid profiles. First was our Black Lives Matter badge. As protests increased across the country, re-recognized as a brand that we had to say something, but we also had to do something. And it was something that was a really huge passion project for our entire team. Badges normally take about 2 to 3 months of planning between all the product work, the marketing teamwork. Our Black Lives Matter badge went from idea to launch in 72 hours. We had everyone really working around the clock on this. And we, you know, there were a couple components that went along with the badge. First, we obviously wanted to put our money where our mouth was, and we made donations to the ACLU, Black Girls Code, Fair Fight Action, and the NAACP. Then we donated $1 million in advertising space on OkCupid to Black civil rights organizations, including the NAACP. And then we launched our Black Lives Matter badge, which as of this month has been added by over 575,000 people. So it's actually become, I believe, our most popular badge to date. And along with that, we released new questions related to racial equality to really make sure people were having these conversations on our platform. And some of those new questions were, how will you address racial inequality? Is it important that your date fights for racial injustice? Is it okay to silently support racial equality? And do you yourself protest to fight inequality?
So let's back up a little bit for those who may not be familiar with OkCupid. And there have been a lot of changes since the inception of OkCupid. But one thing that's remained the same that has really solidified what the brand is about is your questions. So tell us a little bit about just the design of OkCupid and how those questions factor in to matching and compatibility.
Yeah, so we are pretty famous for our in-app matching questions. So these are questions that daters will see on our platform, and they really help power our algorithm in matching people on what matters to them, no matter what that is. So we currently have more than 4,000 questions for daters to answer, and we have localized questions in at least 30 markets around the world. So if you're dating in New York City or San Francisco, you're going to see some different questions than if you were dating in London or Tel Aviv or Tokyo or Jakarta. And we have questions on pretty much anything imaginable. So everything that you would think of in the dating relationships and sex space, whether that's sex toys or coffee dates, really anything. We also have questions about astrology and cannabis and climate change and gun control and politics, voting, LGBTQ rights, and even the coronavirus pandemic.
And using those questions, just to make this really actionable for our listeners, the way that now, like it used to be, that was how all the searching and matching and the match percentages were done, right? But now I have found some of the search functionality is has gone away, has been simplified, but you can still search based on how people have answered certain questions, correct?
Yeah, so we actually just released the biggest redesign in our history, which a lot of people started to see this past summer. And we're calling it Stacks. And it's really this new matching system that consolidates multiple discovery methods into one single one to really help people find their person. Because we know that sometimes the most challenging part of dating is just finding someone. So we figured, why not make finding that person a little bit easier? So there are new Stacks, which are really pages or sections on the app that you can comb through different groups of people. And that includes recommended, so people we think you're, you know, super compatible with, question pros, which are anybody who's really doing a great job at answering our questions. We wanted to give them a little bit of recognition.
So people who are like taking the time to actually respond to as many questions as possible.
Yes. Really the people who are like engaging with our questions more than other daters, you get a little bit of a shout out if you're in that stack.
Okay, I just want to, for all the listeners, if you haven't heard the algorithms episode, go back. I think it's two episodes, because I did mention that it's really important to be active on the app. You want people who are active, who are using the features, who are going to engage and make matches, right? I mean, that's the business you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. And we try to make these questions really fun, but also help you find someone that you're really compatible with. So there are some things that, you know, you can be a little bit flexible on. I personally love horror movies. My boyfriend's not the biggest fan, but guess what? We still work. However, some of those deeper conversations and topics, like our political views, how we feel about reproductive rights, how we feel about equality and gender pay and all those like really, important issues to a lot of people, the more questions you're answering, the more likely you're going to find someone who is compatible to you based on those views. So if right. you're a climate change activist, but you're not answering any questions, you might possibly be matched with someone who really doesn't believe in global warming. So we definitely want you to answer the questions as much as possible. And honestly, I think they're really fun. I mean, I'm in a mm-hmm. relationship, I'm not dating, and there are times that I'm just super bored and I'll go onto my OkCupid account and start answering questions because they're just really fun to go through. It's almost gamified.
Right. You were the first ones in that space of really gamifying it and making it fun. Then there are some premium stacks, right? There are additional ways to match that just for a little bit extra can get you the edge.
Yeah. So most of the stacks are actually free. So Recommended, Question Pros, Online, Nearby, and Match Percentage are actually all free. And Match Percentage is a stack where you will find people that you have over a 90% match score with. So the people that, based on, again, your responses to our questions, we find you're most compatible with. But then there are a couple of other paid features that people can unlock if they're interested in. And those two stacks are new people. So anybody who's new to OkCupid, and popular people. So anyone who's, you know, getting a lot of action and traction on the platform.
Mm. I'm like, do we want to chase the popular people? I'm curious, though. People always ask me what the match percentage is based on. And then how do you tell if it's a good match? Like, I feel like I have a client who I just started working with on OkCupid. And I feel like everyone who's come up in her stacks is at least like 82%. Is there a certain threshold that, like, that's a good match versus, like, that's kind of anybody that's answered any of these questions?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the person. I actually hear from a lot of people who say, you know, I'm not interested in talking to anyone unless I have a 95% match score with them. Other people who are a little bit more, not superstitious isn't the right word, but some people who use their lucky number. So I have a best friend who 89 is her lucky number, so she looks for 89 and higher. But you really just have to see what's going into that match percentage score.
That is the funniest thing I have ever heard. You're matching based on your lucky number.
I would really not find anyone because my lucky number is 3. So I don't know what
so
I would
do. So
then
you just imagine everybody. You're like, you're fine. Well, luckily you found love. And you found love online too. So you're another success story like me. You know that it absolutely works.
Yeah.
And then you live it every day.
Yeah. But we hear a lot about our match percentage and people being really interested in it. And actually, a lot of our success stories, the people who reach out somehow always remember what their match percentage was with their partner, which is really nice. But there's a few factors that go into building that match percentage. So again, the questions play a really big role in that. So how you view or how you respond to certain questions plays a big role in your match percentage, but also what you're looking for, the age range that you're looking for, your location, your gender, your orientation. Those all, the people we show you must meet, you know, all that criteria when we're showing them to you. So if you're interested in someone who's 25 to 35, you know, we're not going to be showing you people who are 45 or 50 years old. Or if you're in New York City and you're only interested in dating in this specific city, doesn't really make sense for us to be showing you people from Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm always telling people that. And sometimes we just set and forget the profile. And y'all have heard me say on the show before, you need to, the profile's a living document. You need to be updating it and changing it regularly. But even thinking of those set, not just the written part of the profile or the photos, but what are those parameters that you set? And people will come to me and say, well, I've run out of options. There's no other people, like out to the bottom of the stack or whatever. And then, you know, I look in the back end and I'm like, but you're set to 5 mile radius of your house, or age. We're always talking about age. Like, their age parameters are set to like 3 years on either side. And really, my strategy, Michael, is be as broad as possible in your profile and in the search, and then see who comes in the door, and then you can filter.
Absolutely.
Like, once you've mutually matched, right?
Absolutely. And also, you hit the nail on the head. A lot of people, you know, they make their dating profile and then they completely forget about it. And one thing we try to always remind people is that you should really be updating your dating profile every few weeks, whether that's adding new photos or adding something current to your profile, like what you're binge watching. And the great part about that is it's going to trick the algorithm on the platform, and it'll show you as a newer person. So because you're putting all this activity onto your profile, they're going to start showing you to even more people. So,
and thank you for confirming what I said on the algorithms episode, because I've always said that, you know, I've been doing this 15 years since OkCupid was a site and not even an app. So this is what I'm always telling people, but like, to hear it right from the horse's mouth, like, this is coming from OkCupid. They're telling you, be proactive and change your profile and make sure it's current, because you're also changing and evolving as you're learning things. I do want to go back to this voter badge, which we talked about at the beginning of the show, because I think that is really going to be more important as we are rapidly approaching this election. And the voter badge you released a few weeks ago, but now you actually have data that has informed who's on the app and what kind of behaviors they're engaging in leading up to the election. And now that has led you to this VILF campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about that evolution and about what you've learned since the release of the badge?
Yeah, absolutely. So before the badge even went up, before even 2020, we knew that this was going to be a really important moment for us. Politics and voting are actually the biggest deal breaker on OkCupid, and questions within that category are answered more than any other category. So our political questions have actually been answered over 105 million times already. So going
Wow. Can I ask you a question on that?
Yeah.
Like, before we move on, because sometimes people have gotten on my case for talking about politics on the show at all. But I have seen, as I've been coaching now for 15 years, I have seen the evolution of political beliefs becoming more and more important. People used to say, oh, I can't date anyone who's not my religion or who's not my race or who's not, doesn't live in my city or what have you. Now, the first thing people will say to me is, I'll just say it straight up, like, if he votes for Trump, that's a non-starter.
Absolutely. And
have you seen it increase?
100%. And I mean 100% as indefinitely, not the actual stat.
Thank you for clarifying. So PR of you.
Yeah. When I heard the percent term come out of my mouth, I was like, uh-oh, got to clarify that one. But I grew up with parents who are on very different sides of the political spectrum. My dad has always been Republican, will only watch Fox News. My mom has always been Democrat and voted for President Obama twice very proudly. So I think, you know, in generations past, politics didn't play as big of a role in dating and relationships as it's playing today, where now we're seeing a lot of people base their, you know, match off of their political views and how they lean on some of the most important issues of our time, like climate change and gun control and prison reform. We actually found that 76% of OkCupid respondents said how their date leans politically is extremely important to them. So politics and your political views is definitely, you know, not only the biggest deal breaker, but really, really important to daters these days.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I just have to remind everyone also, I know it feels a little bit early to be talking about the election, which is less than 50 days away. But for so many states, the cutoff to register to vote is like in a few weeks. So and you're not really taking a political bent with putting up the badge. It's just a badge saying I am registered to vote. Right.
Correct. So we don't care how people lean, whether that's, you know, they're liberal or they're conservative or they're independent or some other party. We just want to make sure that everyone is exercising their right to vote in the most important election of many of our, you know, lifetimes. So our voter badge is really to encourage people to share that they're registered to vote in the 2020 presidential election. And, you know, the thought behind that was we actually found, and we were doing some research, and we noticed that when people share that, you know, they're voting and they're sharing that they're going to be participating in this election, it makes everyone within their circle more likely to participate as well. So that was the thought behind, you know, wanting people to display proudly that they were registered to vote in the 2020 presidential election, but we also wanted to help out people who weren't registered to vote. So everyone who responded no to our question, we actually partnered with When We All Vote and directed those people to a landing page where they can register to vote. And we're reminding our daters in all 50 states of the upcoming election deadlines ahead of the deadlines in their states.
I'm so glad that you're doing this. This is so important. And public service announcement, definitely check your voter registration. Even if you think that it's current, I posted this on Facebook or Instagram. I've had now two friends who have been active voters and were registered in the great state of California that went back in to check their voter registration a couple weeks later and had been changed to inactive. So If you learn nothing else today, make sure that you are checking your voter registration. And I really do encourage you to use these badges. And you found using the badges actually correlated to a higher match percentage. And those people who were registered to vote, they got more matches than the people who didn't.
Yes, voting is very sexy. So registered voters are 85% more likely to get a message. They're 12% more likely to initiate a conversation with another person on the platform. And they are also more 63% more likely to get a match. So exercising your right to vote and registering and participating in the election is not only a great thing to do as a, you know, person within our great nation, but it's also going to help find you some love.
Mm. I love that. I love that you're thinking of ways that we can support political action in our communities and just be. I always say I don't care how you vote. I mean, I kind of care how you vote, but not for the show. But just being engaged and knowing what's going on and being active, like you said, it is sexy. And as it is a primary filter for a lot of people right now, if you lead with that, you're going to find more commonalities right out of the gate. And unfortunately, I think matches like your parents are in the current, you know, social media and political climate are fewer and further between. But the work that you're doing at OkCupid and overall the inclusivity that OkCupid has always promoted is something that I think our listeners really need to pay attention to and get activated by. So everybody, in case we haven't convinced you yet, I don't know what to tell you, but we've got to get active. You've got to find love and you've got to download OkCupid. And if you think you know OkCupid, you've been on it before, trust me, like Michael said, it's all different, right, Michael? It's all new.
Absolutely. I mean, I joined the company a little over a year ago, and the app looks completely different in just the past year. It is, I just think it's absolutely beautiful, but it's so clean and sleek and modern, and our new stacks are just make dating so much easier, and you'll never see the same person in each stack. So it just gives you a lot more choice, and it really puts daters in the driver's seat and gives them control of their love life, which is what we love about it.
Well, I love that too. And thank you so much for being here and sharing your insights with us, Michael.
Thank you so much for having me. This podcast has seriously gotten me through quarantine and my quarantine runs.
I love that. I can't listen to podcasts when I run, but I've heard from a few listeners that they're into running. So thank you for listening to the show and always supporting the show and always keeping me up to speed on what's happening in the online dating biz. Y'all, in case my message wasn't clear here, voting is sexy. So if you are looking to meet other like-minded singles, OkCupid just might be your best bet. And seriously, if you think you know them, like I said, they're a legacy site. They've been around in the game as long as I have. But this is a brand new OkCupid. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't operate the same. So you might need to give it another shot if you've been there before. We have a very special link just for Dates and Mates listeners in the show description where you can get yourself set up on OkCupid. Let them know that you heard about it here and try out all the new features for yourself. Well, I vote that you stick around because the next segment is Dear Damona. We're back, and the questions are just getting juicier and juicier. Here's what's on the docket for today.
Dear Damona.
Damona, help me.
This one comes to us from Instagram. She says, I'm dating someone amazing, but he smokes weed every day. And I don't know if I'll be able to handle that for a long time. I have to say, this is definitely a lifestyle question. And it's not like he's a casual smoker. Like, he smokes every day. Like, if you're smoking every day, you need it to get through. And that just makes me wonder. And I know there might be some, like, some serious smokers here. But I just want to ask you, I just wonder if there's something that you're numbing out because it's too hard and painful to feel it, that you need every day. And, you know, sometimes it could be feelings. Sometimes it could even be like mental health challenges, and that smoking the weed masks it. Because anything that you're doing that changes your mental state, and let's be honest, it is a chemical that changes your brain. It changes your brain chemistry. Not long-term like some other substances, but it does affect your personality, your mood. And I like to kind of strip that away and see where that's coming from. So, I mean, that's not a comment for you. That's a comment for your boyfriend, but that might be a question that you just want to ask. Like, look, I'll go back to the five whys, which I've talked about in helping people identify their dating list and why they believe what they believe about their potential matches. Ask it of your boyfriend. Why is it that you smoke weed every day? Well, because I need it. Why? Because I am in pain from, maybe it's like from an injury or maybe it's mental pain. But really, I would dig in there before you just throw the baby out with the bathwater and say this relationship can't work because we have lifestyle differences. Try and figure out why that need is there for him, and also figure out if it is a deal breaker for you, because you said you don't know if you'll be able to handle that for a long time. If it is a deal breaker for you, what is it that is triggering or impacting the relationship? Does he act differently when he's on it? Does he forget things? Does he get the munchies and eat everything in your house? What is it? Are you afraid he's going to embarrass you in front of friends or family? What is it that makes that in unacceptable for you? And dive into that. And then you'll know once you get the answers to those questions, you'll be very easily able to tell what your next step should be. Okay, this one came to me from one of my clients, actually, but I thought you could learn a lot from her story. She says, I met a guy in an airport. It was basically the perfect meet cute. Our first few dates were magical. We just had this amazing connection, but he lives in another country. And lately, we haven't been able to keep our promise of meeting once a month. Lately, like the last 6 months of COVID, I assume. It feels like it's fizzling out, but at the same time, like we're meant to be together. Should I be dating right now or should we wait until we figure this all out? Ooh, this is a tricky one because I know what that's like when you feel that connection with somebody, but we have to look at the reality and the logistics of the situation. So whenever people are in a long distance relationship, I will always ask them first, is there a plan? Is there a plan or even a possibility that you will be together in the same place at some point? Could he move here? Could you move there? Could you meet in the middle? Is that even a possibility? And, you know, with a long distance relationship, I think this conversation has to happen sooner rather than later. So the exclusivity conversation comes up in an LDR. If you're interested in serious dating, generally sooner than it would if you were in face-to-face dating, which I know sounds a little counterintuitive, but you really need to know if you're going to spend so much of your time investing in someone that you may not be able to see in person for months or even for, I don't know, a year. How long are we going to do this COVID thing for? I don't know. But it could be quite a long time before you're physically together. So is the connection, is the pursuit of that relationship worth what the potential outcome could be? So if the answer is no, we could never live in the same city for various reasons. Maybe he has a kid or you are stuck for your job in one city or what have you, then you already have your answer. If the answer is possibly maybe, or the answer is we've never talked about it, you know what to do with that one. But if the answer is possibly maybe, then you need to really start to draw out, what does this look like? How does this relationship grow from here? And how can we reignite the chemistry even though we're apart? So you don't necessarily need to talk to each other every day. In fact, I would suggest spacing out the interactions if you have a commitment to one another so that you can build anticipation again for speaking to each other and being connected virtually until you can make plans to be connected face to face. Should you be dating right now or should you wait to figure it out? Well, that's a question only you can answer. I say you are not exclusive until proven otherwise. So until you've had the talk about exclusivity, I say date as many people as you can and want to and can be present with, but being honest that you're dating around. But if you feel like you can't really play out this relationship and see if it's going somewhere while you're also seeing other people, then it's okay to take your time and to take a pause on the swiping. That the apps are always going to be there. Other opportunity is always going to be there. But you have a bird in hand, as I was saying earlier in the show. So you need to figure out what to do with that, what the possibilities are with that, and then make your next steps from there. This has been episode 328 of Dates and Mates. Don't forget to check out the special Dates and Mates link to get started on OkCupid today. It's in the show notes. And I want to hear your questions. I'm at Damona Hoffman on all the socials. Don't forget to DM me. Let me know also what you learned from today's episode. Send this episode to a friend who might need it or one of our prior episodes. And join our Patreon group. We would love to have you be a part of the community. I love chatting with my listeners in the Facebook Lives, but the only way to get in there is to sign up at patreon.com/datesandmates. I will be back again next week with a super steamy inside peek at Cosmo's new book on next level romance. Until then, I wish you happy dating.